The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Welcome you back. Final hours arrived. Glenn Gilbo just tweeting about what Mike Griffith said here earlier. Gilbo, certainly an astute observer of the game. We've talked to him many times covering LSU. He said Georgia has it all over Alabama except a quarterback, at head coach, and in the win column. Let's get some more phone calls here. And Jimmy is in Florida. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, how are you?
We are doing well. Thank you for the call.
I just wanted to call and tell Red Dog to calm down a little bit. Game, we ain't beat them in 7 years, 6 years, and we got to beat them before we can talk. We don't need to get ahead of ourselves. We just need to win the game.
That is a fair point. I think that, and I don't mind Red Dog saying anything, but you usually wait to that moment. And I appreciate your call very much. Rucker is up next from Tucker.
Hey, Paul, what's going on, man?
How are you?
I'm great, man. Hey, what's his name? Was Red Dog called a little bit earlier and kind of insulted the state of Alabama, in my opinion. And I just want to point out two or three things here about the state of Alabama. They have NASA, which is pretty impressive. They have the USS Alabama. They have the fastest NASCAR track in the world in Talladega.
They have
the best country music singer ever in Hank Sr.
Oh, yeah.
The best country band ever in Alabama. Barry Bryant, Nick Saban, and 18 national championships. If that ain't impressive, Paul, I don't know what is.
It is. Everything you said is 100% true, and I agree in that. My home's in Alabama.
Hey, Paul, in closing, I was on a gambling boat here a while back down in Tampa, and I run into a Georgia fan.
Right.
And had on my Alabama shirt, and he had on his Georgia shirt, and we got talking, and he said, you ain't from Alabama. And I said, no, I'm not. I said, all my folks are, but I'm not from there. He said, I ain't from Georgia. He said, I'm from Tennessee. I said, well, I am too. So we got to talking, and he finally told me at the end, he said, I've never driven between the two campuses, Alabama and Georgia. He said, how far apart is Alabama and Georgia? I said, about 16. He said, 16 miles? I said, about 16 after championship apart. Before.
That's great.
Peace out.
Hey, thank you, Rucker from Tucker. Rucker from Tucker. Man, you're trying to rhyme that, you could get in trouble. Pat is up next in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
I wanted to talk to you. I'm an Auburn grad, and I don't want Georgia to win.
Really? Tell us about that.
Well, I graduated from Auburn in 1970, and we actually beat Alabama my last 2 years at Auburn. That would have been 68, 69, 69, 70.
Pat Sullivan years.
We didn't have... Pardon?
The Pat Sullivan years.
Yes, it was. Pat was a year behind me. I was a PE major, so I had classes with a lot of the football players. And we never had the animus against Alabama like a lot of people did. I guess because we won. Or maybe I was naive.
Yeah, you know what happened, Pat? I don't know where this all started, but there was a time when people really had fun with college football, and we had friends from the other team, the other school. I don't know where we are right now, but everybody is not as small-minded as some of the callers you've heard previously.
I know. Well, my high school boyfriend went to Alabama on a football scholarship, and I went to Auburn. So needless to say, our relationship didn't last long.
Well, I mean, just forget what I just said. That probably wouldn't work very well.
No, but anyway, I just wanted to put my 2 cents worth in. But I love your show. We watch it often. Couldn't be better.
Well, Candy, Pat, you have been a great caller, and thanks for sharing that. You be well, Pat. Candy is next. That's what I meant to say. Hey, Candy.
Hi. Greetings from Rome, Georgia.
Well, hello to you.
Well, I was just dancing to your theme song. I'm glad you didn't call me back then. Okay. My question is,
I don't know why I like that name, Candy. It just does something for me.
Well, my mother had a sense of humor. She knew one day I'd be 70, and well, never mind. We won't go any further than that.
There's no way you're 70. It's just not possible.
Yeah. Okay.
But you could be younger than Nick Saban.
If number one and the dogs are number three, okay, then who is number two?
Well, in the now this poll will change in Tuesday morning, but we're still using the old poll that the CFP put together. Alabama was one, Michigan was two, Georgia three.
We've been waiting on that, and it hadn't changed.
I'm no, but it will change. Next Tuesday, it will be Alabama one, Georgia two, or Georgia one, and Alabama two.
Yeah. Okay, that was it. Thank you.
Okay, Candy. Be well.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We go from Rucker, from Tucker, to Candy, to I-Man, who used to be Iron Man. Iron, was that right? Named after the Iron Butterfly. Iron Maiden, whatever. But now you're I-Man. I renamed you.
Yes, you did. And it was actually Iron Man.
Iron Man, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Paul, where did all the animosity come from today?
I don't know.
I mean, it's just tense. I tell you where it started. It started with you, my friend. I mean, you totally, this world is all about, I got to have respect. You better respect me. I'll bounce your head. You know, wait, this cheap word, respect. You know,
it was a good song, though, by Aretha Franklin.
Oh, it was. And at least she could spell it. Most of these callers you got, especially the ones that demand respect, they can't spell it. But you disrespected him because you, first off, you said legend might be a little bit smarter. Legend is a fool. All day long, Red Dog brings more class to the table. Legend is a liar. Legend is not a very trustworthy person.
Oh, really?
And to put Red Dog beneath that is just, I don't know, Paul, that was a low blow, and I understand why he was upset. And it didn't have anything to do with Georgia, the state of Alabama, or Hank Williams, or the USF Alabama. It didn't have anything to do with
I went to a reception once, and I swear it said USS Alabama. I don't remember the ER at the end.
Well, that's the Bammers. That's the way they spell, Paul. I mean, you know, that's who they are, the T-shirt fans. And you know, I need to correct.
You're knocking Alabama fans because they're great fans, and maybe all of them couldn't afford to go there. I don't think. I mean, why? When did you become such an elitist?
You're
an Auburn fan. I mean, I don't know if you went to Auburn or not. Man, you may have a PhD from Auburn for all I know.
I don't, Paul.
Okay.
I don't.
Just wanted to make sure.
I don't.
Because
You're doing to me what you did to Red Dog, but it didn't work with me, Paul, because I'm thinking at the same level you are.
Oh, okay.
I'm playing cards with you.
Yeah.
I got a hand, too.
Yeah,
but you're protecting.
You're right about that.
You know, the animosity on this show went stupid because Tommy Tuberville was drilling Alabama all over the country. And then you had a couple hood rats come in. You had Legend and K-Dumpster that came in. And, you know, Legend's been portraying this thing like yesterday, that when that happened in Birmingham with me and the dumpster fire, that the police were called. That's a lie. That is an absolute lie.
Nobody ever said
Legend
the police
wasn't
were called.
Even
All I
there,
remember,
Paul.
I mean, is that there was a confrontation. And I wasn't trying to egg you on to get into a brawl at a luncheon. I was concerned. I didn't want anything.
No, you didn't have anything to do with it.
I did. I did see it though, and I was worried because
did not see it because there was three people when it started, Paul. It was me, K Dub, and Big Game, and K Dub, both over 6 foot tall, 250 pounds apiece, and me. You've seen me, and these two hood rats were both on me, hollering, screaming, and cussing. And demanded an apology, which I did not give. And once there was a few other witnesses around, the big game guy, he went to the wall. He now, got now, hell out of the way.
Now,
and
I mean,
Kate, no
it's
problem,
been a
let me
while,
tell this.
Who was big game? My memory's a little fuzzy
he's
on
just
him.
He's another hood rat that runs with K-Dub.
Okay.
And K-Dub's out there stomping around and snorting and snotting, and he reaches in his pocket and pulls out a roll of $1 bill and says, "That's wheel money. That's wheel money." That's where that came from.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And K-Dub the other day said he wasn't playing. Well, you know what? I was not playing either, Paul. Have a good day.
Sounds like this is yet to be settled. TBD, don't you think? Need to get Ric Flair back on the line to settle that one. We are heading to a break. We'll try to explain to the audience during the break, or once we figure out what I-Man was talking about, we will share that with you.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And welcome back as we continue here on a Friday night. Wesley is in Georgia. Go right ahead, Wesley.
Hey, this is Leslie with an I.
Leslie. I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. I just want to make one thing clear. Unlike some of the other callers you've been getting from Georgia,
right.
I bleed red and black, right? And I also wanted to ask you, did I miss a segment when you might have admitted you were wrong about all them SEC schools winning the bowl games, but Georgia?
You probably did miss that segment. Thanks for the call. Mike is in Kentucky. Hey, Mike. I don't think I've ever admitted I was wrong here. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing great.
Man, I couldn't help hearing I-Man's conversation. I tell you what, OK-Dub and Big Money or No Money, whatever his name was, they better watch out messing with I-Man. Anybody that can swim 3 miles without water wings, ride a bicycle 10 miles backwards, standing on the handlebars with his eyes closed, and then run a marathon wearing stiletto heels is a bad dude.
Yeah, he's a scary guy.
I'm telling you. Well, you know, Paul, isn't it obvious how this game is going to end between Georgia and Alabama? It's just glaringly obvious to me. Paul Tyson comes off the bench to throw a late touchdown to shatter the hopes and dreams of the Georgia Bulldogs. Roll dadgum Tide.
That would be unique. Well, the backup quarterback has played a role in this game a few times. Hey, thank you for the call. In fact, a lot of times. Cat Daddy.
Big Paul, looking good, sounding good. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I would like to defend Ric Flair. The man was a wrestler. He intimidated and trash-talked other people all his life. Now, if Kirby Smart dissed him on the sidelines and him was hers and welcome, I guarantee you, Kirby Smart ain't never seen a wrestling match in his life. That guy probably stays up on the computer playing Call of Duty when he ain't coaching football. He just don't seem like the type to me that would even know a Ric Flair. What do you think?
I don't think it's possible to have been alive in the last 30 years and not know who Ric Flair was and continues to be.
Oh, now, Mr. Fiber, I would normally agree with you, but there's a lot of nerds out there in the world, and they just don't pay attention to a lot of
Are you calling Kirby Smart a nerd? Is that what it sounds like?
Well, you know, he don't look like a guy who's got a pickup truck with mud flaps and a gun rack in the back.
Oh, I don't know. Kirby, I would be shocked if Kirby Smart does not drive a pickup.
Well, now,
I mean, he is from Bainbridge, Georgia. Now, and I don't mean that. I mean, you drive pickup trucks when you hit 16 in Bainbridge, Georgia.
Well, that might be true. I might be wrong. I'm always assuming, and you know what they say, when you assume things, well, I don't need to go ahead and
I think if you look into Kirby's truck, he's got a gun rack and he's got Hank on the 8-track. Steve is up next in Georgia. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I just want Paul to find. I want Paul to know he's a great man. You know what he's talking about. But
thank
I stand with Red Dog. Us Georgia Bulldogs, we be calling his phone. We be calling it on his show on Tuesday, and I want him to answer the phone when we call after we beat Alabama.
Now,
that
Steve,
comes from all my friends.
I want
at the
you
University
to know
Georgia.
That I will be here. I'll be here extra early on Tuesday so we can get those Georgia fans lined up. I think it would be fantastic. We haven't had a. I mean, we've had a million Alabama day afters, had a few Clemsons. 2 years ago, we had LSU, so I think Georgia would be quite wild, a Georgia national championship. How about Dean in Florida? Hello, Dean. You're on the air.
Good evening. I had the pleasure of speaking with you once before.
Well, thank
when
you.
When I mentioned I recognized Jay Randolph's voice, and then
oh, yeah.
I brought up the conversation that I had with Dan Beebe when he was the commissioner of the Big 12 Conference. But what I want to do, I want to give you a little bit different twist on the playoffs and how that affects how people watch the game. I'm in the sports business, and now I'm in the golf industry, but I used to do a lot of things with team logos and college logos. Matter of fact, I even used to sit down with Don Shula every year to determine what he would wear on the sidelines.
Oh, wow.
Well, in the mid-90s, Atlanta hosted the Super Bowl, and the Falcons only won 6 games that year. And the guy that did what I did in South Florida in the Atlanta market sold a ton of Super Bowl merchandise. The Dolphins, the next year, the game is here in Miami. They made it to the AFC Championship game, and they lost to the San Diego Chargers, and then they got blown out by Steve Young and the 49ers down here in Miami.
Right.
Well, we didn't sell much Super Bowl merchandise because the South Florida fan base were hanging their hat on the Dolphins making it to the Super Bowl. And I think that might draw a parallel to the playoffs if we end up with 16 teams in the college playoffs. The closer you get to possibly making the final two, the less interest you'll probably have in the game. I can imagine that there's not gonna, you know, there may not be a whole lot of TVs with the Cincinnati or Michigan fan base watching the national championship because they were hanging their hat on being in that game. So, it may actually deter how many people watch the game.
I understand what you're saying, and maybe we'll be surprised Monday night. But the games last Friday were incredibly disappointing in terms of audience. The one thing that I think will be different, though, the final game may not be a monster audience. However, would you agree or not that the first round, the second round, the third down the round, there will be a lot of games, but there will be tremendous interest in them, though, because we have never seen anything like that before.
I totally agree, but I believe like if Missouri and Indiana and Colorado and Arizona State and whoever Maryland are in those early games,
right,
or make it to the second round or third round, as soon as they lose, I think their fan base isn't going to care much about the finals.
No, no. I asked a question the other day to Tebow and somebody else on our set. If Michigan and Cincinnati win, will you be watching on Monday night? And, of course, everybody said yes. But I'm telling you what, I don't know. I do this for a living. I don't know how interested I would be in that game.
Right. It's and as I said, just, you know, if you played in the Liberty Bowl or the Holiday Bowl or, you know, one of the other ones, you know, your fan base probably will watch the national championship game. But if you thought your team had a chance to make it to the final game, if they expand to 12 teams or 16 schools, then, you know, it may dwindle. The closer that school gets to the final two, I think the more apt they may not pay much attention to the national championship.
Yeah, curiosity, Dean, I'm a big golf fan. What's happening in the golf world right now in terms of your business?
Well, I've been involved for the last few years with a company that dresses John Daly. And
that's a full-time job.
And I own a golf bag company, and we do a John Daly collection golf bag. So, but you know, last year, a lot of golf companies during COVID were up 40% because it was one thing people could do outside, social distance.
Golf was big,
and so it's
well. Let me say this, Dean. I consider John Daly a great friend of ours. I hear from him occasionally because he's a big Razorback fan, as you know. And he is just one of the nicest people I have met in the industry. So you've got yourself a great guy there.
Well, I tell you what, next time I see him, I will get him to autograph one of the John Daly golf bags that I
make.
Oh,
my goodness. Well, I would
and,
be.
And I'll send it to you, and you can donate it to a charity. You can have a raffle. I'd be happy to do that for your
show.
Well,
thank you very much. Dean, I'm going to donate it to our set here. It will be sitting right there in the corner.
Okay.
So it will.
All right. Well, one thing about it, go Mizzou.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, I heard from John a couple of weeks ago. When he's around, he tunes in, and we hear from him. And I saw him on the sideline last Saturday. He's a proud Razorback, and we love him. Thank you for the call. Joe is up next from Red Bay, Alabama.
Well, roll tide, roll, Paul. And you know who closed me?
No.
Walmart and Sears. I mean, that's, you know.
You know what?
I don't mean nobody.
Joe, when I was a kid and I got a shirt or something from Sears and Roebuck, I was so proud of that. That was really a big deal when we moved from the discount dollar store to Sears and Roebuck. They still use the word Roebuck?
No.
They don't even use Sears anymore. Hey, Joe, did you happen to hear Red Dog's call a few minutes ago?
I'd seen him where he called, and I had my ex-brother-in-law come over, and he was – so I had to mute the TV so I didn't hear what he said.
Okay. He gave me what's the saying up in Red Bay, down the country.
Well, you know, they can do all this little barking all they want to. That don't win ball game. I mean, their biggest thing is just a burp, 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 burp. I mean, that's like little chihuahuas barking. I mean, they've got as much chance of winning this game as I do of winning the PGA. I mean, they're a good team. Don't get me wrong.
What's your handicap, by
but
the way?
Nick Saban just. Do what, Paul?
What's your golf handicap? I'm just curious what kind of chance you would have of winning it.
Well, I mean, I've hit, you know, two or three hole-in-ones in putt-putt golf, but, I mean, I was drunk back in them days. I don't remember even doing it.
Well,
but, I mean, I don't,
well,
you know,
you
I'm
need,
not a
you
big
need to
golfer.
Come on over and join the hole-in-one club. It's a rarefied air of golfers.
Well, I'm not, you know, I'm not a big golfer. Golf. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like
decided
it.
That was it. I'm quitting golf.
Right. Yeah. Go to the putt-putt golf course, and of course, this was down in Tampa. I mean, in Panama City on my class trip. So that's been, you know, how many years ago?
I always liked it when on the final hole of putt-putt, and then your ball would disappear. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like, where's my ball? Well, I don't want to say that.
I mean, it may have did. I mean, I've seen the picture, well, but well, I don't
Joe,
even remember.
For some reason, because we're going to be jam-packed with guests on Monday night, if for some reason we don't have a chance to talk to you, would you go ahead and make a prediction right now?
Yeah. I already know what this game is going to be. I mean, it's not a secret. I mean, I'm going to say Bama 50, Georgia 30, you know, Georgia 20. If they get 20.
Okay, just so, because I know a lot of people will be tweeting your pick, just so I got this right.
Well, Georgia may get like 6-7 field goals. I mean, they're not even getting a touchdown
so
on
them. So Georgia 50-20, and I'm trying to think, 3 divided into 20 just doesn't quite work. So they're going to get six field goals and a safety.
Well, how about just 5 field goals? You know, make it 15.
Okay. This is your final prediction. Alabama 50, Georgia 15.
That's it. And I'm going to try to call you Monday if it's more I can. Are you going on there Monday?
Yeah, sure. I mean, nowadays you say we're planning on it. You never know, but yes, we are planning on being in Indianapolis. Randy and I got the motorhome gassed up. What time are we leaving, Randy?
I'm going to leave tomorrow.
We'll go through what?
Right through the night.
How do you get to Indianapolis?
Go through Kentucky.
You go north and look for snow. We'll take a break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Here on a Friday night, let's head to the finish line and check in with John, who is in the ATL. Hello, John.
Paul, great show. How are you guys today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I wanted to make a couple comments. One, I was born and raised in Gulf Shores, Alabama. I don't know if you've ever been there. I live in Atlanta, Georgia now.
Many times.
One of the things that Red Dog missed was in the summertime when I go back to see family, I see the half the Metro Atlanta down there. He missed that part. He's probably been there a million times himself. Some of the best beaches in the world. Second thing he missed is one of the most beloved Atlanta Braves to ever play the game of baseball was born right there in Mobile, Alabama, Hank Aaron. Hammer he missed man. That one as well. But the thing that I wanted to say is I listen to a lot of sports talk radio up here, and people are missing this. You know, getting to this game and winning it is an amazing feat to do. It's very difficult to do, as you listen to Coach Saban and how everything that goes into it. But that's not the hardest part. The sustainability is where it gets difficult. Clemson had a window. You saw what happened to LSU. You saw what happened to Auburn. But it's the sustainability, and it's not just recruiting. It's having to replace coaches' staff, turnout, in and out. And Kirby, if he wins this game, he's going to start understanding how really difficult, because not from the outside, people coming to get their coaches, having to rehire coaching staff, having to You know, it's that. What do you think about that aspect of it?
Well, the one thing I will say, John, is that Kirby Smart has been able to watch how Nick Saban did it. And that doesn't mean you can do it, but I do think he has an acute understanding of the difficulty, because he was there at LSU, he was at Alabama, he was even with in Miami with Saban, so he watched it unfold, and I think you're right. We lavish praise on Saban with regularity, but the hardest thing is maintaining, because it's so easy. Let me stop. It's not easy to get one, but it's more difficult to get the next one and the next one, and that's why this feat
is that when as a head coach the judgment really starts, in your opinion?
Well, no. All I'm saying is Kirby Smart at least has been witness to it. That doesn't mean he can do it. And
right,
I think he's being unfairly judged, because he is being compared to the best coach of all time. The one thing that I think is legitimate is when this year ends, and if the narrative doesn't change, this to me is the first time that he has had the better team. The other three times he has not.
One other thing that I hear down here is, you know, about the Stetson Bennett, the quarterback controversy. And I called a radio show here in Atlanta, and I said to these guys, I said, listen, there's a Georgia quarterback in the room. There's a former NFL player on this show.
Right.
And I said to them, I said, you have to tell this fan base, they have to put the faith in their head coach. Now, does Coach Saban do some things that I disagree with as far as some of our best players? Jameson Williamson was covering a kickoff and got knocked out of the Auburn game because he made a tackle and targeting. We have our best players sometimes do that. I get scared to death when I see that. But I put my faith in Coach Saban and that he'll make the right decisions. I don't ever second guess him. And I think the Georgia fans need to learn that as well, to make this thing really, to get behind them and not second guess no matter what happens.
Yeah, you
Monday
know, I
night.
Don't mean to be Pollyanna here, but you know, the fact that Kirby Smart has Georgia in a national championship game for the second time is really remarkable. And you know, he should be celebrated, and I know he is. And it's, yeah, listen, if he wins the game, I think it will be amazing. It's going to be the Georgia fans are going to exhale. I mean, forget the outliers, the crazy people. That's part of fandom. But most Georgia fans do appreciate this journey. It has been a remarkable ride in a very short period of time. Snake is up next. Wants to do a football player named Snake.
Yeah, he was a good one, wasn't he?
He was. He was pretty good.
Hey,
left-handed.
Thanks for taking my call. I just, I lit up when I heard all those nice things you were saying about Ric Flair earlier. I met Ric Flair after a wrestling gig down in Birmingham. Which
right.
I saw you there once.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to go.
I know you've been there.
I didn't want anybody
but
to know
anyway,
that, but I did.
When my kids was growing up, they was really into wrestling. And my youngest one, every time they came to Birmingham, I would take them down there. And I remember Charlotte Flair was the big headline at one of the big wrestling deals down there. And I took the day off and got poster board and spent hours making the signs and even dug out an old vintage dirtiest player in the game, Ric Flair shirt. I even wore that down there. And after the match, we went over to a restaurant across the street, you know, there to Sheridan.
Sure.
Where a lot of them meet up after they wrestle and do some meeting and greeting. Well, we walked in, and there's only two bar stools at the bar. All the tables was full. So me and my son run up there and sit down on those two bar stools, and I turned to my right, and there sits Ric Flair. And I said, Rick, hey, man, it's great to see you. He turned, looked me right square, and I says, don't bother me.
Ooh.
And I took that shirt home and tore it up, threw it away.
Oh, blame
me. But anyway, I was I was always a big Ric Flair fan until that night. And that's just what a great guy he is.
You know, I'm glad you told that story, Snake, because I'm fortunate in my job. I'm around a lot of famous people like Tebow and others, and I watch how they treat people. And within reason, sometimes you just can't help it. They treat people with respect. And I remember as a kid, we were all impressionable. And, you know, the idea that Ric Flair would say that, it takes less time to say hello to someone than it does to say, don't bother me. That is disgraceful. Don't want to say any more about Ric Flair because he knows where I work.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, we made it to the end of the week. Appreciate you being a part of the show. We will see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.